Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Skin City Coaches Show here tonight on Mix 94. Adam Kadavia with you here, and studio engineer is Aaron Reyes, and another great show for you planned out here tonight. And we'll talk about the four fall sports as tennis wrapped up their season last week at regionals at McPherson, cross country and volleyball with league competition coming up this weekend, their final tune-up before regionals, and football begins district play also coming up this Friday night. We're going to go ahead and dive right into it here. Cross country will take the microphone first and foremost here, and they were at the Lakin Invitational coming up, or that was last Saturday down at Lakin at the golf course there. Had a looked like it was a pretty competitive meet. I believe both the boys and girls teams took third place there from what I could recall there. And we're joined now with head coach for Scott City, Kevin Reese. And Kevin, thanks for joining us here. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
That's good. And you thawed out yet?
I kind of like this cold weather, yeah. Actually. It's good for running.
You know, it is. It's good. And I think your team really does a lot better with the cooler weather. But anyways, last Saturday, you guys go to Lake, and you see a couple of 4A teams, of course, are league teams that'll be in the regional coming up in a couple weeks, and of course, league this weekend. Take third place, both the boys and girls, and talk about the weekend down at Lakin.
We had a really good meet. You know, we're kind of at the point now where we're starting to rest them a little bit and, you know, hopefully get their legs back underneath them, you know, especially after not the greatest performance back at Ness, and, we were a little worried there that we weren't kind of where we needed to be, but I tried to get across to them that, you know, after you give them a few weeks of rest, you know, their legs are going to get back and they're kind of starting to come into form, and, you know, hopefully we're going to peak right at the right time.
Well, looks like you took steps in the right direction, and Saturday, talk about the course itself in general at Lakin, and what is that like there?
It seems to be a course that, you know, our kids really like and generally run pretty well on. It's relatively flat. It's a golf course, probably kind of similar to what they're going to be running on, you know, this Saturday at home here when we host the league meet. But there's a little up and down on the backside of the course, but it generally lends itself to pretty fast times, and the competition's always good. It's one of the bigger meets we go to, you know, close to home. So that was good. And like you said, you know, we saw some teams that are in our league that we're also going to now be seeing at our regional, like Goodland and Holcomb, Hugoton, you know, some of the teams that we compete with quite a bit, but we just needed to kind of see where we're going to stack up against them, and it gives us kind of a good place to start.
Once again, head coach for the cross country team, Kevin Reese, joining us here tonight at Scott County Hardware here in Scott City. And talk about how'd you fare up against some of those league teams last Saturday?
Well, on the girls' side, we did really well. Actually, our girls beat all the league schools that were there. I know that Ulysses was missing one of their better runners, so, you know, that did make a little difference there. But I think, you know, with the overall good performances of our team and, you know, in general, Megan's going to talk here in a little bit. She had an outstanding meet. I think she ran her career best by quite a ways. Macy Davis, you know, our fifth runner, she really took some time off of her best from this year anyway. And everybody just ran solid, and, you know, the girls kind of showed up. And on the boys' side, we had some career PRs too. So, you know, it's just one of those meets we seem to generally do well at.
That's good. It kind of leads you into the kind of the real season, and that, I guess, so to speak, and that kind of begins Saturday. I think probably some of the goals are, you know, do well, getting better before league, and league, probably another goal is to win it here. And a nice thing for you guys, first time in a while you don't have to travel for a league meet. First time in a while you've had a home meet.
That will be kind of nice. You know, there's quite a bit of work that goes into hosting a meet, and hopefully the weather's going to hold out and be fairly nice for us. I know they're talking some rain possibly on Friday, but I think it's supposed to clear out of here maybe by Saturday. You know, we're really hoping that we get a big crowd here. I guess the band's even coming out to support us, and we've been having some announcements made, you know, in school to try to get some student support out there, but really like to put it out there and try to get as many people out there as we can. You know, this obviously isn't the most spectator-friendly sport in the world, so we don't get great crowds, and we understand that, but sure would be nice to get some people out there on Saturday that, you know, generally don't come to meets and just have them support the runners.
Talk about what goes into a cross-country meet. For fans maybe interested in going out on Saturday, what should they expect?
What they expect is to see some great running. Yeah. These kids put a lot of time and effort into preparing, you know, not just during the season, but before the season starts. And, it happens pretty quick. You know, there's generally – there's a one junior varsity race. The boys will have a junior varsity race, but we're going to put the junior varsity girls with the varsity girls because there's so few junior varsity girls. But it goes pretty quick. You know, each race can last anywhere from probably 15 to 25 minutes from start to finish. It's just, you just enjoy watching the competition of the runners and get out there and kind of spread throughout the course and just cheer them on.
What I kind of like about going to cross-country meets, you don't think about it. You just think it's just a lot of running. But there's a lot of adrenaline, a lot of mind games going through the course of the meet.
Yeah, you know, it really depends on who you are and what, you know, what your best type of running skill is. There's those runners that like to get out early and try to make it a speed race, which will probably be what this one is since there really aren't very many hills out on that golf course. Our team typically, I think, likes the hills a little bit better because we are able to train out at the lake quite a bit. That's another type of, you know, of race that you can see run, like when we went to Rimrock, or, you know, as we get into some of these postseason meets, like when we're going to be going to McPherson and hopefully up to Wamego, they're going to see a lot of hills there, which really slows the race down and makes it more of a tactical race. But this one's going to be all out speed, and fastest runners are definitely going to win.
All right, and that starts at 11 o'clock, right, on Saturday?
JV boys will start at 11, okay. And they'll be followed by the girls, and then we'll finish up with the varsity boys.
All right, once again, that's out at the Country Club there in Scott City, the Great West Activity Conference Cross Country Meet, the fourth ever one, and this year Scott City hosting it. First time Scott City's hosted a meet in quite a while, and it should be a fun one. Invite everybody to go out there to the golf course if they have the opportunity. And once again, Kevin, appreciate you stopping by again tonight, and best of luck to you this weekend.
No problem. Thanks a lot.
All right, once again, head coach Kevin Reese joining us here tonight from Scott County Hardware in Scott City. We have a couple of the representatives from both the boys and girls teams here tonight. And the first one we're going to get to talk to will be senior Megan Thornburg here, and veteran of a couple of years on the team. And thanks for joining me, Megan, here. How are you doing this evening?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right, thank you. And hey, what's it going to be like to run at home on Saturday?
I'm excited. I think it'll be really fun and have, like, a lot of people come out and support us, hopefully.
All right. And, you know, this season, it's been a season where the team has improved on the girls' side. Talk about what it's been like overall for you.
At the beginning, since I had been sick, it was kind of a struggle to get back in the groove of, like, taking time to recover before I could be at my best running again. So it's been kind of a slow process, but it's also been kind of quick. And I've improved a lot since I've been sick.
Once again, it's Megan Thornburg joining us here tonight from Scott County Hardware in Scott City. Last Saturday, Coach alluded to you had one of your better meets of the season or of your career there as well at Lakin. And talk about your time and how you felt going into that race.
I ran an 18:09, which is my best. Last year I ran in 18:24, so that was quite a bit better than last year. And going into the race, Coach asked us what our goals were. And this year I'd only been running in 18:44, so my goal was to, like, run in the 18:30s. And he said that his goal for me was in the low 18s and not to run our race but run someone else's race. So I went out there and just did my best, and I ended up with a great time, and I'm really happy.
Do you feel, running that well with adrenaline, do you feel comfortable afterwards with yourself?
Yes.
Well, so do you set a new goal now this weekend and into regionals maybe to get under 18?
Yes. This weekend I hope to get under 18, if not 18 flat.
All right. What's the rest of the year look like, hopefully, for the girls team?
Hopefully for the girls team. Hopefully we can make it to stay as a team, but if not, we'll have to make it individually, which I think you'll have to be running in the low 17s, so that's quite a bit of improvement, but if we work really hard, hopefully, and just go in with a clear mindset, we can do it.
Well, you know, it can change pretty quickly when you get that adrenaline running at regionals especially, and guys have really had a nice improvement this year on the girls' side, and Megan, appreciate you joining us here tonight. Good luck to you at WrestleAway this year.
Thank you.
All right, once again, senior Megan Thornburg joining us here tonight, representing the girls' team from Scott County Hardware, and we'll go ahead and move on to the boys' side of things here as we have freshman Chance Jones joining us here, and Chance, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Doing all right, thank you, and thanks for joining us here. First time you've ever talked on a radio?
Yeah.
How about that? Nervous coming in?
A little bit.
Oh, yeah, it's not too bad, I promise. Megan's a pro at it. She was a little nervous the first time, but she's done pretty well. But anyways, first year, of course, out for cross country, and has been everything that you expected?
It's been a little bit more.
Well, that's all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
What were some expectations going in, and have they changed quite a bit as the season has worn on?
Originally going in, I was always a good runner. I felt like cross country was just my thing. So I went out, practices at the beginning. We did a couple hard things, and then we ended up getting a little bit harder, and now we're on the downside of the season going into the end, and we're kind of resting up, getting ready for the last meets.
All right, what's been your best time so far this year?
Actually, at Lakin, I had my best time, which was in 18:48. So I think I did pretty good.
Yeah, that is pretty good. Once again, Chance Jones joining us here tonight from Scott County Hardware in Scott City. Chance, talk about what it's like. Have you been running predominantly varsity or JV this year?
I've been running varsity, but I missed two meets because I had missed one before that because I'd been at a livestock show. And then I missed Rim Rock, so, and then I got knocked down to JV and ended up bumping back up to varsity.
All right. What is the difference have you felt maybe between competition and JV and varsity?
Varsity, you get a lot more competition. You can pace yourself with the other runners. JV, I really didn't have anybody to pace myself with, so I got a lower time, and I ended up running like a 20-minute run.
All right. And, of course, last Saturday at Lakin, how'd you do down there?
I did pretty good. The team overall did pretty good. Got third down at Lakin.
All right. And what's the goal for you for the rest of the way this year?
I want to get down to the low 18s instead of being up 48.
All right. Well, have an opportunity this Saturday and also regionals next Saturday. Kind of excited to get to, I mean, it's kind of close to postseason. Kind of excited for that time?
Yeah. We're just going in the downside of the season. I think we've done pretty good altogether through the whole season. The team has gone very good. We've been pushing ourselves as hard as we can. And personally, I think that everybody has just done a great job.
All right. And you've had to learn. You've learned quite a bit from some of your veterans, too. And it's been a good year for you guys so far. And hopefully it continues in the next couple of weekends. Chance, once again, thanks for joining us here, and good luck to you the rest of the way.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, once again, that was freshman Chance Jones for the cross-country team representing the boys' side. Also, thanks to Megan Thornburg and head coach Kevin Reese for joining us here tonight from Scott County Hardware in Scott City. Volleyball, Lady Beavers hosted the Scott City Invitational Tournament on Saturday. They went 1-2 in pool play. Did not make it out of the pool there in the top two of their pool, but they did win their final match of the tournament and their final match at home this year against TMP. Lost a couple of tough ones as well along the way to Oakley and also Dodge City. And head coach for the Scott City Lady Beaver tennis team, I'll get the right sport here. Third time's a charm, it's volleyball. What sport do you coach? Is it volleyball, Jordan?
Sometimes.
All right. Head coach Jordan Dryling joining us here. Coach, thanks for joining us here, and how are you doing this evening?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right, thank you. Well, Coach, as I mentioned, you guys went 1-2 at the Invitational last Saturday. Really one of the most competitive tournaments that Scott City's hosted in quite a while, just the teams that have had some success this year. Oakley, also Dodge City, you had TMP Marion and yourselves in one pool, and then you had in the other pool Holcomb, Wheatland Grinnell, also Norton, and Leota Wichita County. Those are pretty competitive matches, it looked like, as well over there as well. Holcomb ended up winning the tournament. Dodge finished second, I believe. Oakley finished third, Norton fourth.
I'm not sure how the third place game turned out.
If I remember right, just kind of going back on memory what I saw in the results, but that's how it turned out. And pretty balanced. But looking back at Saturday, how'd you feel your team competed?
Well, obviously it was tough not making it out of pool play. That hasn't happened to us before. But as you said, there were a lot of competitive teams there this year. Oakley did pretty much surprise everybody. I think they've improved a lot this year. And getting third in that tournament was not something that I would have predicted for them. But they're actually a pretty talented group. And, you know, unfortunately, they handed us our first loss of the day, which was very disappointing. The girls were very disappointed in themselves. I was disappointed in them. You know, it's our seniors' last matches on their home court, and they weren't very happy with themselves after that. So luckily, we picked it up quite a bit against Dodge City. We always seem to play well with them. You know, I think we kind of match our level of competition. So with the higher level, we kind of bring ourselves up and played them well, but still lost. And then our final game against TMP, you know, it's a tough team. They do a lot of quicks. They're tall. They look like they're a pretty solid team, but it was extremely exciting to not only get the win, but get the win in two and get the win for our seniors as we sent them off for their last match.
Absolutely. It was important in that aspect there, but it would kind of been a pretty long week for you guys last week as well. Second time this year where you've had Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday competition, and you really faced a pretty tough competition, a quadrangular Thursday at Garden City before. And do you think that you guys really stepped up your game from Thursday and down at Garden City last week to last Saturday at your home meet?
I mean, I think Thursday is where it kind of started. You know, we went to Holcomb on Tuesday. Holcomb's very good. They've lost five matches this year. They're very strong. And then Thursday we played Garden, Dodge, and Ulysses. It's just a really tough quad. But fortunately, you know, I think the girls responded and stepped up their game. Garden City is a big arena, and it's a intimidating crowd, but we have to find ways to use that for our advantage. We don't always have the loudest crowd, so we talked about trying to actually use their crowd noise to get us pumped up. So, and then I also got to watch our JV team play that day, and really exciting to see what we have coming up. So, it's at the point of the season where the level of competition is pretty high, and we have to get there. So.
Once again, it's Scott City Lady Beaver Volleyball Coach Jordan Dreiling joining us here tonight from Scott County Hardware here in Scott City. And you take a look, it's really preparation for postseason, and I guess you could consider a little bit postseason begins this Saturday. You guys will be in the same venue two straight weeks, but it'll be a little different setup for Substate, though. First and foremost, you guys will be playing at Colby there at the Great West Activity Conference Volleyball Tournament, and it's a round robin, so you'll see everybody once again, and you'll have all of your sub-state teams in that tournament as well. Of course, Goodland, Colby, Holcomb, Hugoton, Ulysses, the competitors there, the team, the field there. And talk about coming up to that meet on Saturday.
You know, it's going to be a very tough day. Mm-hmm. All the teams in our league have very good records, and they're very strong. You talked about the same teams that we're going to see in Substate. They'll be there. So it's the best dress rehearsal, best scouting that we can do. You know, I don't know that we necessarily expected to go down to our league tournament. Last year, we knocked off Holcomb first match of the day, and we continued to win all day. Ended up getting second. So you never know what's going to happen in postseason. You know, you're bringing different girls up, possibly from JV. You've just improved throughout the year. And, you know, we haven't seen Hugoton since first 2 weeks of September. So never quite sure what team you're going to see. And hopefully our girls just step up to the competition and realize that, you know, for our seniors, they have 1 week possibly left of volleyball. So we have to play every game like it's our last, and every practice like it's our last practice.
Well, it's kind of interesting. You had the same situation a couple years ago when you had a regular season meet, quadrangular at Goodland, a league meet, and Substate the following week in Goodland as well. It's kind of like the similar situation, 30 miles or so closer, but who's probably some of the favorites in the field on Saturday?
Well, you know, I don't know if you want to look at record-wise, but I believe Holcomb's got the best record in our league, followed by Goodland, followed by Ulysses, Hugoton, then Colby, but they're all pretty close. I really think it's going to be whoever comes to play that day. You know, who plays with the biggest sense of urgency and who, you know, realizes that high school volleyball doesn't last forever. Every point, you got to play your heart out.
Absolutely. And, you know, the team this year, you guys' team, probably out of all those teams, you've played probably Gilden the toughest, and they got a pretty good record coming in.
Absolutely. They can play up and down just like we can, and the sets that we've beat them in have been total blowouts.
Yeah.
So they can be very down as well as up. So anything can really happen. It just depends on who comes to play on Saturday.
Absolutely. And you guys begin at around 10 o'clock, right?
Yes.
All
I
right.
So.
That's at Colby High School. We're going to run two courts there and tight quarters, but it should be a fun one on Saturday. And once again, Coach, hard to believe we're already league competition time. And thanks again for joining us here. Best luck to you guys on Saturday.
Thank you.
All right. Once again, Head Coach Jordan Dreiling talking to us here about girls volleyball as they head to league coming up on Saturday. We talk now football as Scott City wrapped up the league portion of their schedule last Friday night at home against the Goodland Cowboys, and they finished 4-1 in league competition and a 28-14 victory over the Goodland Cowboys. And first and foremost, it's Head Coach Glenn O'Neill joining us here on the headset. And Coach, thanks for joining us here this evening. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Adam. How are you doing?
Doing all right, thank you. Well, wrapped up another league season. Six games in the books last Friday night against Goodland. Talk about that game and looking back, it was kind of an interesting game. A lot of passes thrown, but what were your overall thoughts of the game?
There's a lot of good things, but at the same time, there's a lot of mistakes that, you know, some of them they forced on us, and some of them, you know, we kind of took care of our own self as far as making mistakes. You know, the first quarter, you know, we mishandled a punt, you know, and then we have a, you know, they come down and score on their second possession. And then on the next kickoff, of course, you know, we don't recover, you know, that kind of a squib kick over the top of the front line. So, you know, put a lot of pressure on Coach Turner and the defense. You know, I think they ran 17 plays before we have an offensive play, and it's awful tough to, you know, be very successful when those things are taking place like they did. But, you know, by the time you get to the end of the game, you know, I think they only had about four or five more plays than what we did, so we kind of, you know, capitalize and come back and even it out a little bit, which means that the offense and the defense both stepped it up. You know, offensive-wise, it took a little while for the ground game to get going, but, you know, once it did, you know, Paco Banda had a career night with 104 yards rushing. Martin Goff had a 28-yard touchdown run at the very end to, you know, give him, you know, a very good night, you know, rushing with about 53 yards on about six or seven carries. Passing game was what was tough, you know, a couple different, you know, things that made the passing game, you know, tough that night. Number one, the receivers, you know, could not get off the line of scrimmage against a guy that was, you know, in press coverage. You know, number two, they were always bringing, you know, an extra guy, you know, off the edge that we could not block because we didn't have enough players to. I mean, you know, the guy that was kind of responsible for him was a quarterback as far as in the numbers game. And then number three, you know, we dropped a couple passes and then we missed a couple passes. So, you know, overnight, you know, overall, you know, not our best night passing the ball. But you know, at the same time, you know, we made enough passes to, you know, get enough points on the board to win.
How big was it to have a rusher go over 100 yards for the first time this year?
Oh, really, really not that big of a deal as far as the individual part. Of course, it's really nice and, you know, proud of Paco for his efforts. I mean, he ran hard. He ran over some people. You know, he read his, you know, blocks pretty nice on the traps. You know, the main thing is, you know, what we're doing with our team rushing. And, you know, for a third week in a row, we kind of improved our rushing average, you know, as far as the yards per carry. And, you know, we ran over 200 yards as a team, which is, you know, pretty good. I don't think we had any sacks, which is, you know, kind of the first time all year where we didn't have any negative yards with the sacks. But we lost some yards on some sweeps and, you know, some base plays. But, you know, if our quarterback doesn't get sacked, you know, it you don't have to climb out of those holes with a second and 12, second and 13. And, you know, I think, you know, Trey ended up with, you know, 13, 14 yards on a couple carries. And, you know, when Brett come in, you know, he didn't get sacked back there also. And it kind of makes the plays easier to call when it's a second and 7 instead of a second and 12 and 13.
Well, two games in a row, the defense has three interceptions. And, you know, for the first couple of games, it was tough to get picks. But it seems like that the secondary has really had a pretty big improvement in the pass defensive game.
Well, the game started with, you know, the Goodland hitting about their first four passes. You know, they had a couple short ones, had a couple, you know, intermediate. I think they're, you know, the biggest one's about 15 yards. And you know, so you know, 4 for 4, you're looking at and thinking, man, this is gonna be a long night on pass defense. But you know, after our guys kind of got used to the timing a little bit, and you know, they kind of stepped it up, and you know, the Goodland quarterback ended up, I think, 14 for 32. So and that means he was 10 for his last 28, and you know, throw the 3 interceptions. You know, got Brett Myers open it up with a pick in the end zone. You know, we had a you know, Chris Pounds. You know, I don't think he saw Chris on a route. Chris kind of came from the inside out and had like a 56-yard return off a pick. And then, you know, at the very end, you know, Sloan Baker ended up getting a tip pass with kind of a one-handed catch off the shoulder, you know, for that third pick. But, you know, I thought we dropped two others, though. We made a pretty good break, and either somebody else tipped it before we had a chance to catch it clean, or, you know, we just ended up dropping it. So I thought our guys broke better on the ball. You know, I think, you know, one thing that we saw in the film, the two inside linebackers were a little bit too close together. I mean, they're from, you know, you to me, which is, you know, about 2 yards right here, you know, from each other a couple times. So either they were Siamese twins, you know, out there playing linebacker, or, you know, one of them just wasn't in a very good drop position. You know, on the edge, we didn't get any sacks, but, you know, Warren Krupp and Chris Pounds both did a pretty good job rushing. And then, you know, at the very end, you know, I think it was in the third quarter, they ended up getting a 24-yarder down the side, which was their biggest pass play of the night, and, you know, kind of helped him push himself over 100 yards with the passing.
Once again, head coach Glenn O'Neill joining us here on the Coach's Show tonight. And wrapping up the league portion of your schedule, you guys finished 4-1, no worse than second in the league. And kind of looking back over the last few years since 2004, Scottsdale's only lost 4 league games and finished no worse than second. What an amazing run that's been in the last few years.
It's been great, you know, for the program and, you know, for the seniors. You know, disappointed, of course, with the Ulysses loss. But, you know, for 4 seasons in the GWAC, you know, 19-1, which is you know, probably about 3 or 4 games better than anybody else. So, you know, very, very proud of, you know, what the guys have accomplished, you know, not only this year, but also the other years. But at the same time, you know, the league schedule is part of the stepping stone to get into the district and to kind of get in there and hopefully make a run again. And, you know, they have a streak going there also. I mean, they've been very successful, and, you know, that it doesn't come by luck. It doesn't come by, you know, just stepping on the field. A lot of hard work by those guys have, you know, put them in this position to keep that streak going. Now it's up to us to, you know, go up to Hoisington and play a young but a talented Hoisington team. And, you know, they're a physical bunch. You know, they got a good running game. You know, when you play Hoisington, number one, they always have some athletes. And number two, you know, they're always very, very tough physically.
Well, of course, Hoisington, that's a Friday night game, and the first of 2 consecutive weeks, the team's going to be playing on the field turf there. And, of course, Hoisington's a 7 o'clock kickoff at Hoisington, and then, of course, TMP Marion the following week. And, of course, the 2 road games in the district play, but kind of taking it off some players in the past. Of course, a couple of them, one is playing at Kansas State University and Colburn Cashman, and then also one just committed there over the weekend in Luke Hayes. And talk about the success that they've had and what you've seen with them coming through the Scott City program and potentially 2 playing in Division I level next year.
Well, you know, what we've seen, you know, as far as their growth, you know, we've had those guys since, you know, 3rd grade in the YMCA, you know, tackle league down there. And, you know, they've both been very talented, you know, throughout their whole lives. But at the same time, you know, they put a lot of work in. You know, Colburn is a, you know, very dedicated, you know, lifter and very hard worker. Luke, you know, blessed with, you know, tremendous size, you know, very good career, you know, football-wise and wrestling-wise. And, you know, made the jump to Butler County, which is probably as good as a lot of, you know, lower Division I schools, you know, and just as good, you know, talent-wise. And, you know, Luke had some opportunities to kind of pick and choose from and chose to stay in-state with K-State. You know, talking to, you know, Coach Dickey on his spring recruiting deal, you know, the first thing they wanted was Luke to walk on. And then, you know, once the offers started coming in from the SEC and from some of the other Big 12 schools and the ACC, then it would become obvious that, you know, K-State wasn't going to get him for a walk-on bargain. And, you know, so that they offered, and, you know, he ended up taking it, you know, after, you know, a couple, you know, pretty tough choices because, you know, there's some other schools that he really liked also, you know, talking to him. You know, but, you know, Colburn, you know, he definitely already a Division I player. I mean, you know, a couple tackles, I believe, last week, and, you know, has been on 3 of their different special teams with the kickoff team, the punt team, and the punt return. And, you know, using his athletic ability and his, you know, football sense. You know, he's a very smart player, and, you know, he's going to work hard for you.
All right, and once again, Scott City playing at Hoisington this Friday night. And, Coach, once again, we appreciate you stopping by again tonight here, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks a lot, Adam.
All right, once again, head coach Glenn O'Neill joining us here in our second of three coaches from the football program going to join us here tonight. It's going to be defensive coordinator Jim Turner. It's his turn to take the headsets, and Scott City's defense has helped out the cause for the 5-1 season so far this year, and the defensive coordinator Jim Turner joining us here. And Coach, thanks for joining us here. How you doing?
Good. I'm doing well. How are you, Adam?
Doing all right. Well, all ready for districts coming up Friday?
Yeah, I hope so. Boys are ready to play.
Well, talk about this season. You've seen quite a few different styles of football. The spread, really the first couple games, and then the third and fourth games, the run heavy teams, and then you go back to the kind of the balanced look last game. And talk about what it's like to kind of change game to game like that throughout the first six games so far.
Well, it can be difficult at times, but probably not near as difficult as teams trying to prepare for our offense, because we do a variety of different things. So, we try to find tendencies that teams want to run, maybe out of a formation here or there or something. We're going to see Hoisin that's going to load up and try to run much more than pass, So we're going to try to gear ourselves to get prepared for what they do well and stop those first off. So, that's usually the goal, but, lately – worked most of the time, but we have some plays that aren't very good. So,
well, last couple of weeks they've been pretty good for your team. You guys have forced, I believe, 8 turnovers in the last two games, 3 last week, and then 5 the previous week against Hugoton. Talk about trying to get to that, getting those turnovers. What do you guys do during the week to prepare yourselves for the opportunity to get the turnovers?
Well, I think the key point is being in the right position, as far as alignment, which we preach all the time, as far as their alignment's number one, make sure you're lined up in the right position and, ready for what they can do to you in that situation. Then you just want to take care of your technique and, your responsibility and try to take care of from that point. And then hopefully you can get a pop on the running back and, get the ball loose. We don't really do a lot of strip drills. We want to get people to the ball and gang tackle. And, our secondary's played much better since the first few games when we really – weren't breaking on the ball very well. I think the first game we didn't have any tips whatsoever, let alone interceptions, so we've kind of improved as we've gone along there. But, most of these guys were pretty either young or young in experience coming in the season, so the just playing each game has helped a lot in each practice.
Once again, it's Coach Jim Turner for Scott City representing the football team once again here tonight from Scott County Hardware here in Scott City. And you take a look at the season, a lot of new faces to start on defense to begin the year, but you had some pretty quality seniors coming back from last year's team, and talk about the development of some of the newbies out on the field this year through the first six games at the defensive end.
Well, defensive end wise, we had Warren coming back, from last year it started, and Chris started a variety of, at outside linebacker, at defensive end. So, those two guys were probably our more experienced ones coming back, and, you take those two out of the mix, then we had Trey back at the corner, who was playing free early in the year, so we have basically three starters kind of coming back there, and then Paco got to play a lot on the inside, and so from that point on, they were all pretty inexperienced at the varsity level. They played JV and played pretty darn well for us, and at the JV level, but it is a step up, and switching gears a little bit, trying to move at a little higher rate of intensity is kind of your first step. And I think you get through practice and then through the first few games, hopefully that's where you really see it picking up.
Where you've probably seen the most improvement through this team so far on the defensive side?
Oh, it's probably hard to say because you got to look at different styles you're playing against. I sure hope it's against the run game this week. like we've already talked about, the secondary has really stepped it up with the tip balls and the interceptions we had the last few games. But we've done a lot better job getting to the ball, against the run also. So that's kind of a difficult question based on what we're seeing each week. We've got a big tackle, little tackle on the inside for us. We got a chance to hit things pretty quick. And getting against a big power running team, it's going to be difficult for him a little bit. And then you got Matt in there, a lot of size. When they try to run at him, very successful as far as plugging things up. And then we got to find somebody different there, if we're looking third and long. So, Matt knows his role really well and knows, it's third and long. He's not a great pass rusher, but his job is to plug up the run. And, I think he's still waiting on that screen pass interception. We just don't leave him in there.
Well, he's done pretty good there. He's really found himself quite a bit in the backfield last couple games.
Yeah, he has played really well. He's a big kid, and he's hard to move. And when he really gets with it and fires off, he's pretty tough. And, kind of disappointed last week. He said he was going to mention my name on the radio, and he didn't. So, I have to mention that because I kind of gave him a little trouble about it. But.
Yeah. Well, take a look at the final three games of the season. What's the goal for the defensive end or defensive side of the ball, I should say.
Well, we've got Coach put some goals on the board and basically shut their tailback down, you know, and based off of what they can accomplish and how much they shut him down, or if they possibly do not, which we're not planning on. There's a little extra activity at practice. If they don't, we want to shut their tailback down. He's got good speed. He's extremely quick and shifty. He's going to run the ball real hard, and then they double that up with a pretty good-sized fullback at about 215. So they're going to come at us with the ISOs and the power kickouts, and they're going to run a power eye and keep running the same stuff at us, and they're going to throw in some bootlegs. So, you know, probably the biggest thing, we got to shut down the run as far as the tailback primarily, but we can't lose sight of the other guys.
All right, once again, Scott City, Hoisington coming up on Friday night, and week one of districts already. And Coach Turner, once again, appreciate you stopping by, and have a good week.
All right, thanks, Adam.
All right, once again, Assistant Coach Jim Turner and Defensive Coordinator for the Scott City Football Program representing the football team, of course, with Coach O'Neill here tonight. And I'll bring on the JV coach here, his second year as a high school assistant coach, and helps run the JV team, and Brian Gentry. And Coach Gentry, how's it going?
Man, it's going great. How are you?
Doing all right. You staying warm out there?
Oh, yeah.
A little nippy out there today, wasn't it?
Oh, man, it wasn't anything like, you know, Monday and Tuesday, so it wasn't too bad out there today.
Yeah, well, JV season in full swing, and I believe you have one more game coming up, if I believe on the scene right on the calendar. How's the JV season been so far?
You know, we've had our ups and downs, but, you know, overall I think we've had a lot of players, you know, really stepped up and grown, and kind of, you know, they're on their way to making that turn for next year. You know, some of our juniors, you know, they're going to be getting some varsity playing time next year. They're getting closer, and they're doing pretty well. So
it's been quite a while since you've had the situation where you've had a lot of brand new faces on the even on the JV team, hasn't it?
I don't know. You know, as far as you know, it's my second year, so you know, there's a lot of new faces in there. You know, a big group of younger guys, but you know, there's still, you know, you still have your same familiar faces that have been there, you know, through, you know, for the last 3 years. So.
All right. Once again, Brian Gentry joining us here tonight. And, the JV team is kind of the ones, they kind of run the Scott team during the week, right?
They try to. They give it their best effort every once in a while. It takes them until about Thursday to figure it out. But they do a pretty good job. You know, they need to get in there and give the guys a good look. But, you know, they do their best. And like I said, on Thursday they usually kind of piece it together to give them a good enough look going in on to Friday's game.
Well, Monday you guys had to make the journey up to Goodland. What was that like?
It was cold. It was pretty windy when we got up there, and it just continued to get a little bit colder as the game went along. But we went up there, and, you know, the guys really took care of business. You know, we ran the ball quite a little bit. I think we only threw a couple, three, four passes. So, you know, the line did a great job, you know, run blocking, and the backs were able to hit some holes and really open up the game for us.
Well, what kind of confidence have you seen in this team throughout the season, or what kind of improvement, or I should ask, go back a little further, where have you seen the most improvement at?
You know, probably with the line, you know, as far as just opening up some holes. We have some backs with some ability, you know, just get them a seam and they can hit it. You know, Trey Stewart's been, you know, having some decent games, and James Jurgens and some of the backs in the backfield have benefited from the blocking. So I would say the line, but, you know, more so from the team, just the desire, you know, their work ethic, you know, during the game, being aggressive and just going and playing. You know, JV a lot of times isn't so much about technique as it is just, you know, having a little bit more sick'em, I guess, than the other team.
Well, second year, of course, you mentioned being on the high school side of the coaching staff, moving up from junior high. Second year, kind of feel more comfortable, settled down a little bit from last few years?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose. I mean, it's a little bit more kind of, you know, kind of understand how things are going to work, you know, the day in, day out process of, you know, the week, you know, the preparation that it takes. But, you know, when you have these two guys that take care of everything, it makes everything easy for me.
And, of course, Friday nights you're up in the booth, or some cases if there's not enough room in the booth, you're outside and amongst the fans. Talk about that experience and what that's like.
You know, it's pretty exciting. You know, as of late, it's actually been pretty beneficial because it's been pretty cold out there. But, you know, so the inside part is not too bad. But, you know, being up there and kind of getting a different perspective on the game, it's definitely a little bit different. You kind of see some things open up and see some things that we need to work on.
All right. And once again, your final JV game is Monday night, right?
Correct.
And that's at home.
Yeah.
You got to tell Hoisington in town.
Yes, sir.
Well, hopefully it's another good one for you guys. And, Brian, once again, thanks for joining me here tonight. And best luck to you guys the rest of the way.
All right. Thanks.